Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. Today we're talking to Dr. Dan Doriani. He is author of the new book, The Death of the Deadly Sins, Embracing the Virtues that Transform Our Lives. Dan, I think this is the first time we've had you on. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
It's good to be here. I think it is the first, and it's a pleasure.
Yeah. Now, this book intrigued me from the beginning, and we had to feature it. It might be helpful, I think, first of all, to start off just defining these seven deadly sins. Where did this list come from and why these seven?
Yeah, so the list is really old. It's usually credited to Pope Gregory the Great, they call him. This is in the days before popes had all the connotations they do today. So he wrote expositions of the Bible and on for hundreds of pages, and he started listing what we call today the deadly sins. A man named Evagrius of Pontus elaborated on them, but the real expert on this in the earlier days was Thomas Aquinas, who wrote hundreds of pages. And of course, we might not agree with everything he said. We wouldn't agree with everything he said, but he did a great job analyzing the most common sins. And almost always the lists begin with pride. And that, of course, makes sense because pride is living for the self as opposed to living for God. And then all the sins follow from that. After that, the lists start to diverge. And some say pride leads to greed, which makes sense. If you're living for yourself, you'll be greedy. And then on to things like anger, because if people don't give you what you want, you get angry or you envy them. I think we all unfortunately know what envy means. And then sloth and gluttony and lust. Gluttony and lust, of course, desires of the flesh go together. What was interesting, and you put this in a question to me that we said we'd talk about, is that the lists actually differ. And even Aquinas himself has the lists four different ways. And for him, he goes in one place from pride to gluttony, and others pick up on that and say, well, why gluttony? Why wouldn't we put that way down? Because after all, we have to eat food to live, and it's not so obvious a sin, but they say it's a gateway sin. So if you're proud, you indulge yourself. And the easiest way to indulge yourself is by doing a little more of what you need to do anyway. And so you need to eat, you overeat. You need to sleep, you sleep too much, and you become slothful. So in their view, you could go from pride to things like greed and anger and envy, or you can go to self-indulgence, which would be then gluttony and sloth, and move on from there.
I don't know if there's an answer to this question, but it's always puzzled me why these seven sins and not the seven listed in Proverbs chapter six.
Yeah.
Things the Lord hates and seven's abomination. Why not those seven?
Yeah, of course, the one that sticks in my mind from that list, which is truly a terrible sin, is causing dissension among brothers, right?
Right.
And as pastors, you know, we just hate people who cause dissension. We don't hate the people. Yeah. We hate it when people cause dissension. I don't know. It was, it started with his exposition of the book of Job. And he was looking at the sins that Job's friends seemed to be committing or accusing him of. But you know, sometimes these things have a weight of their own, don't they? So I don't know, the Westminster Confession of Faith, which we all admire and subscribe to at some level, it says the means of grace, the principal means of grace are the word, sacraments, and prayer. And I always want to say, really? That's your list? I mean, how about friendship and discipleship and, you know, mentors? And there's so many other things we could list. But once a famous person or a famous book lists something, we often get stuck with it. So I agree with your question.
That's right.
It could be very different.